But if you've got a Bible handy, please turn in it, if you would, to the Old Testament book of Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6. Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6. And the title of our message is God's Christmas Gift to This World. God's Christmas Gift to This World. This is a passage that's very familiar with a lot of us. The prophet in Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6 said, "For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given." You see, Jesus is God's gift to this world. "And the government will be upon his shoulder, and his name will be called Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace, and of the increase of his government and peace there will be no end. Upon the throne of David and over his kingdom, to order it and establish it with judgment and justice from that time forward, even forever." The birth of God's Son into this world was and still is God's gift. The Apostle John said, "For God so loved the world that he gave." God gave the gift of his only begotten Son so that whoever believes in him, that's his Son Jesus Christ, should not perish but have everlasting life, eternal salvation. And so the birth of God's Son into this world, which we call Christmas, is about the gift that God gave to this world, the gift of his own Son, Jesus Christ, and it's about what we do with that gift. It's about salvation. The Apostle John also said, "But as many as received him," that is, they received the gift of God's Son, "to them he," that is, God, "gave the right," meaning the authority as well as the ability, "to become the children of God, even to those who believe in his name." In other words, the way that you and I receive the Christmas gift that God has given to this world is to believe in and receive his Son, Jesus Christ. In a few moments at the end of this message, we're going to give you an opportunity to not only believe in Jesus Christ, but to receive him the way that John talked about, to believe in him and to receive salvation. And I can't think of a better time to receive Jesus, if you've never done that, than Christmas, the very reason that he came. Christmas means that God gave his Son, Jesus Christ, as a gift to this world, and all that remains is that you and I, that we receive that gift. Now the prophet Isaiah, we read verses 6 and 7 of chapter 9, but he foretold of God's gift to this world nearly 700 years before Jesus was born into this world. Isaiah may well have been a 21st century prophet or preacher. The message is still the same. Jesus Christ was born into our world in order to save us from our sins. Jesus is God's Christmas gift to this world. "For unto us," that would include you and I, "unto us a child is born." And so this child, Jesus, was born to everyone that's ever lived. And Jesus' birth affects every single human being that's ever lived forever. He went on to say, "For unto us a child is born, unto us," that would also include you and I, "a son is given." And so this son, Jesus, was given to everyone who's ever lived. And his coming to this earth affects every human being that has ever lived forever. And so unto us a child is born and unto us a son is given. That statement, "a child is born," points to Jesus's humanity, his human nature. Jesus was born into this world the same way that you and I were. The prophet Isaiah, before he wrote that chapter, chapter 9, he said this, "Therefore the Lord himself will give you a sign. Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son and shall call his name Emmanuel," which means God is with us. That's what happened when Jesus was born. In Matthew chapter 1, in the New Testament, it says, "Now the birth of Jesus Christ was as follows. After his mother, Mary, was betrothed to Joseph, before they came together, before they had any kind of relation whatsoever, she was found with child of the Holy Spirit. An angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, 'Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take to you Mary, your wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit, and she shall bring forth a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins.'" That's what the name Jesus means. The Lord Jesus, he is our Savior. Now, all of this was done, Matthew went on to say, that it might be fulfilled what was spoken through or by the Lord through the prophet Isaiah. Behold, a virgin shall be with child, shall bear a son. They shall call his name Emmanuel, which is translated God with us. And Jesus, of course, is God with us. And all it tells us in Luke's account of the birth is, and she brought forth her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger. That's his birth. Now the statement, a son is given, points to Jesus' deity, to his divine nature. Jesus is God who came to this world and was born as a man. Jesus always existed as God. He was the Son of God. He always has been before he was given to us. Jesus did not become the Son of God in Mary's womb. He was and he is the eternal Son of God, and he always will be. In the book of Hebrews, it says, therefore, when he came into this world, he said, sacrifice and offering you didn't desire. That's not what God wanted. He says, a body you have prepared for me. And so the eternal Son of God took on a human body in order to walk among us and then to die for our sins. Now, without taking on humanity, he could not have died on that cross for our sins. Jesus was by human birth human. Through his mother Mary, he grew up like every other child has grown up. Jesus possessed all of the characteristics of all other men. He hungered, he thirsted, he had friends, he cried, he bled, etc. As a man, he breathed our air. He felt our pain. He knew, he was familiar with our sorrows, and he died as a man for our sins. It was Paul the Apostle that said, for there's one God and one mediator between God and man. That's the man, Christ Jesus. But being God, Jesus is also, and always has been, eternal. The prophet Micah said this, but you, Bethlehem, though you are little among the thousands of Judah, those cities and towns, yet out of you shall come forth to me the one who will be ruler in Israel, whose goings forth have been from old, from everlasting, meaning he is eternal. Jesus has all the divine attributes of God. He's eternal. He's the creator. He's omniscient. He knows everything. He's omnipotent and he's immutable, meaning he never changes. And so Paul wrote and also said, looking for the blessed hope and the glorious appearing of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ. Jesus is God who came to this earth and took on human flesh. And nobody says it better than the Apostle John in John chapter 1 when he said, in the beginning, meaning before anything else was the Word. He already was there. And the Word was with God, meaning alongside of God. You've got the Father and the Son now. And the Word was God. The Father and the Son, and they're both God. The same was in the beginning with God. He always was. And then there was a point in history in which he became a man. And down in John chapter 1, verse 14, it says, and the Word became flesh, and he dwelt. That word means he pitched his tent among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. He came among us. Previous to his becoming flesh, he existed in another realm as God, because he was God, infinite and yet an infant. Can you imagine? Eternal and yet born of a woman, supporting the entire universe. He's the creator and yet needing to be carried in his mother's arms. Jesus is God spelling himself out. He's the eternal Word spelling himself out in a language that men on this earth can understand. He's called the Son of God. He's called God the Son. Well, which is he? Well, he's both. Jesus Christ is not like God. He's not God-like or even part man and part God. He's 100% man and he's 100% God. Do I understand it? No, but I believe it. I believe what the Bible teaches. He is God in human flesh. That's this baby that we're talking about. And I've often said that the world loves the baby Jesus in the manger. They just don't want him to grow up and make demands on their life. I read about a grandfather who found his grandson jumping up and down in the playpen, crying at the top of his voice. When little Johnny saw his grandfather, reached up his little chubby hands and he said, out, out. It's only natural for his grandfather to reach down and lift him up out of his predicament. But as he did so, Johnny's mother stepped in and said, "No, Johnny, you're being punished, so you must stay in that playpen." Of course, the grandfather was at a loss to know what to do. The child's tears and his chubby little hands reached deep into his heart. But the mother's firmness in correcting her son must not be taken lightly. But love found a way. The grandfather could not take his grandson out of the playpen, so he climbed in with him. I can certainly understand that. People, that's exactly what Jesus, our God, did. He came into our world. He stepped into the playpen of our world, and he's with us. The Word, the eternal Son of God, became flesh, and he dwelt among us. Jesus is God with us. That's what Emmanuel means. He who resided in heaven, co-equal with and co-eternal with God the Father and with God the Holy Spirit, willingly descended into our world. He got into the playpen with us. He took on human flesh. He became one of us. And he can certainly identify with what we're going through. Jesus came from heaven to earth to show us the way of salvation. If you've got your Bible, look back at verse 6 again. "For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government will be upon his shoulder." Jesus Christ, who was God in human flesh, the one who also came and died for our sins, is coming back to this earth, and when he does, he's going to shoulder the entire government of the world. And I say, thank God, because nobody else is able to do it. And when he does, his name, it says, will be called Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Wonderful means incomprehensible. He is so awesome, indescribable. Counselor would mean he's got wisdom. He's an advisor. He will never steer us wrong. Why? Because he's all-knowing. He's called the Mighty God. And that's a reference not only to Jesus' deity, but also to his power and his might, his ability to perform what he says. He's also called the Everlasting Father. Don't misunderstand it. He is not the Father. He's the Son. Literally, it means the Father of eternity. A Jewish idiom speaking of his place and relationship to time. He fathered time. He created time. He's the Creator. He's also the Prince of Peace. And when Jesus Christ comes again, he's bringing peace. Worldwide peace, health, tranquility, security, and well-being to this entire world. Now, those are only five out of the 256 names that are given in the Bible for the Lord Jesus Christ. This little baby that was born there in Bethlehem, that's why he's indescribable, incomprehensible. And look again at verse 7. "Of the increase of his government and peace there'll be no end upon the throne of David." That's King David. God made a promise to him that one of his sons, one that would come from his loins, and Joseph was, and Mary was, in a roundabout way, that lineage. To order it, he would be over the kingdom to establish it with justice and judgment from that time forward, even forever. And then it says, "The zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this." There will be no end to the kingdom that Jesus is bringing. He's eternal. What a contrast that is to all other governments and kingdoms and empires that have existed. His kingdom will be ruled in righteousness and judgment. None of the stuff that we're seeing presently. And the promise of his kingdom, it's a sure thing. Unlike the promises that so many politicians make. And it's sure because the zeal of the Lord of hosts will in fact perform this. The coming kingdom of the Savior Jesus Christ is not dependent upon any one of us. He doesn't need our vote. And he's not catering to any particular party or interest group. Well, that's Jesus and his birth and destiny. But what does Christmas mean for you, and what does it mean for us, and what does it mean to us? Well, back to what John the Apostle said, "For God so loved the world." God's not mad at us. He loves us. He so loved the world that he gave, there's your gift, his only begotten Son, so that whoever believes in him would not perish but have everlasting life. And then John went on to say, for God didn't send his son into the world to condemn it. So many people have the wrong idea. He did not do that. But that the world through him might be saved. Might be saved. The reason that God gave the gift of his son into our world was in order to save people, the people of this world, from their sins. Back in Matthew chapter 1, it says, and she will bring forth a son, and you shall call his name Jesus. That means Jehovah is our salvation. And he will save his people from their sins. And the decision that's before us tonight, if you haven't already made this, is, are you his people? The real message of Christmas is that Jesus came into this world, took on human flesh, died on a cross for our sins. His salvation's a gift. At his birth, the angels announced to the shepherds, for unto you is born this day in the city of David, that's the city of Bethlehem, a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. Now, the world has forever been looking for a deliverer or Savior, and he's already been here. Someone to bring peace, someone to solve all this world's problems, someone to right all of the wrongs, to make right and just the injustices. And so God sent his son, born of a woman, Jesus, the Savior. John said he came unto his own, and his own received him not. Talk about the Jewish people back in the first century. They did not recognize him for who he was. He came unto his own, but his own received him not. But to as many as received him, to them he gave the right. Of course we're created by God, but we're not his children until we're born again. That's not my opinion, that's the Bible. To become children of God, even to those that believe in his name, who were not born of blood. It isn't because your parents were saved that you're saved, or your children are saved that you're saved, nor of the will of the flesh. It isn't because that's what you want. This is God. Nor of the will of man, but of God. People, we need to be born again, just like our children were singing. We need to be born again, or we will not see the kingdom of heaven. That's what this baby said when he grew up. You must be born again. And so unto us, this child was born. Well, have you been born again to him? That's the question. That's a question that every one of us must answer. And if we don't do something about the problem of sin, and we're all sinners, if we don't do something between the time of our birth and the time of our death about that, in believing in and receiving Jesus, then we will die in our sins. He provided a way unto us. A son was given. But have you given yourself to him? God's question to us is, have you received him? Have you opened the gift that God has given to you, that he's given to this world? I hope that you have. And if you haven't, you can right now. The psalmist, Psalm 116, said, what shall I give to the Lord for all of his benefits towards me? I will take up the cup of salvation and call upon the name of the Lord. What can we do for God who has done so much for us? Well, you can turn your life over to him. Number one, we've got to realize that we're sinners. Have we done that? I mean, nobody teaches our little kids how to lie. They already know. It's a part of the sinful nature. We must realize that we're sinners. Number two, we must recognize that Jesus died for our sins, and we could never do enough to be perfect. We could never make ourselves right, no matter how, growing up in the church, no matter how much you've done, how much you've given, no matter what, you can never be good enough. Otherwise, why did Jesus come and die? If you could have made it on your own, by your own efforts, why did he die? We must realize that we're sinners. We must recognize that Jesus died for our sins. We must repent, meaning turn away. I remember the day that I did. In my heart, I said, you know what? I don't want to live like that anymore. That's been wrong. I want to start going this way now. Help me, God. We need to repent from our sins. Have we? And then last of all, we must receive him. As many as received him, to them he gave the authority to become his children. Realize, recognize, repent, and receive. Have you done that? We're going to bow our hearts before the Lord. We're going to close our eyes. And I'm going to give you an opportunity to receive Jesus Christ. And for some of you, maybe the first time. And you don't worry about what anybody else thinks. If you're not born again and you know it, it's time to do this. We're not saved by going to church or growing up in church or because our parents are saved. We're saved by a decision that we make. Jesus died. He provided salvation. We need to receive it. That's what the Bible teaches. And tonight may be your night. Father, we come to you in Jesus' name, and we're so thankful for this child that was born and impacted the entire world for the rest of the world's existence. And we thank you, Lord, that he grew up, that he was God in human flesh, that he grew up. And he said, unless you're born again, you cannot enter the kingdom of heaven. And then he died on a cross for our sins, and he rose again from the dead for our justification, and then he ascended into heaven. He showed us the way of salvation. And if you believe that in your heart tonight, you've never been born again. If you believe that in your heart tonight, you're believing that, and you want to receive Jesus as your Lord and Savior, you want to say yes to what God has done for you, would you raise your hand? Don't hesitate. The word, the apostle said, is even in your mouth and in your heart. You raise your hand. There's somebody over here. Praise God. Praise the Lord. We need to hear the word of God and respond to it and say yes to what Jesus did for us. Anybody else? I see another one over here. Praise God. God sees your heart. That's what's important. No better time to receive Jesus. If you're here and you're somebody you know, or you've been faking this thing, or you think everything's okay and you know that it's not, you raise your hand. I'm going to take a couple more minutes here. There's another one. Praise God. You Christians, you'd be praying. Those that are already born again. You don't have to figure this whole thing out. You receive him, and he'll show you what you need to do. I'm going to give you another moment. Don't reject this. No answer is no, people. No answer is no. He came to this world. He died for us. I see another hand over there. Father, we come to you in Jesus' name. We're so thankful for this moment. We're thankful for this child, for you, Jesus, God in human flesh, who died on that cross for our sins. And we thank you, Lord. Lord, we pray for those. We lift those up that have raised their hands, who in their heart and now with their mouth agree with you. They believe in you and are receiving you as their Lord and Savior. Thank you, Lord, for bringing, for giving your son, and not just doing that, but now bringing salvation as a result of it. We thank you for that, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.